Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Jack Ramsey's podcast. Danny Brang, Brandon Sprague. It is a mailbag episode. We are back with mailbag podcasts after, I don't even have my watch on, but I'm going to go ahead and say, 3 weeks. My vacation, the death of my body, and everything else in between has prohibited us. We are back. I would say better than ever, but that's not true. we're both recovering from getting kicked in the nuts. Physically with colds and stuff. And Brandon, it's good to be back, man.
It is. It's nice to do a mailbag. I remember the week after your honeymoon, I assumed, okay, the mailbag will be the restart. And unfortunately, Mr. COVID stepped into the show and said, guys, not so fast. You're going to take another week off. We've had a few pre-posts and live shows, but it's nice to get the mailbag back. There's a lot of questions to get through.
Yeah, I think we have like 30-something questions that came in. It was quite a bit. So if for anybody wondering if I sound differently, yes, it's because I'm still recovering. I am negative across the board, but this is the lingering effects of getting my ass kicked by COVID. So thank you all to any returning listeners. If you're new, we love you. We appreciate you. We love all of you. Like, rate, review, subscribe, share us with your friends, your family. Help us grow the show. Help us grow the podcast. If you're watching on the replay on YouTube, if you haven't already subscribed, please roll over, subscribe. If you want to be a part of the community, you can become a member for $2.99 a month. That gets you into all of the raffles. That gets you into live watch parties. That gets you all the other swag that we're going to get doing. Basically, I'm just going to keep it at that, and I'm just going to keep adding stuff to it. So until that's no longer feasible to do it. But we've already got a ton of you as part of the community. And again, thank you so much. Without further ado, because there are a ton of questions. Number one, we have a ton of NBA draft questions.
Oh,
because the pivot is coming.
I mean, the pivot's already there, is it not?
Yes, I think more and more people are getting there. So we'll get into more of those. But this is kind of like the topic du jour, not necessarily the tanking, but I think the higher level stuff. And this is from Keegan Spendlove at Keegan Spendlove. I've seen people comparing Dame to DeRozan on the Raptors and how Portland should be open to trading him. I don't get this take at all. Is there anyone we could swap for Dame to make this team a championship contender? Unless he asks, I never want to see him in a different jersey. And I think a lot of this, and this is going to sound kind of a dick move, stems from the discussion that came around Jason Quick discussing possibly putting Damian Lillard on the trade market. The idea of you have to be open to everything, which I'll say up front, I'm not entirely against. I don't think there's a phone call right now that you can't take that's serious. But, I don't think you can entertain deals for Damian Lillard unless it's so far over the top that you're like, okay, I'll listen. You're not doing the Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan situation. Like that's not the deal you're looking at, because it's still Dame, and you don't have the second guy who's probably going into the Hall of Fame in Kyle Lowry alongside Dame. So it's kind of got to be the other way around. But even more than that, Brandon, I have said this and I will remain steadfast in this. You keep Damian Lillard as long as you can keep Damian Lillard for. Period, point blank.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first part of that, it's not a DeRozan situation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Part of the DeRozan problem was just that he wasn't a clear number one. And every year he ran into LeBron, who clearly is. And there was a one position that if you could just get better, that was the thing with that roster that might take them over the top. See Kawhi Leonard becoming available. That's kind of a no-brainer. You don't have that right now in the market. You're not pointing around the NBA and saying, you swap out Dame for X and the team's going to get better. This roster's not built that well. It's not just Kyle Lowry, by the way. He's probably a Hall of Famer. Marc Gasol, Hall of Famer, was on
Serge Ibaka was a viable player. Pascal Siakam made his ascendancy. Let's not forget Norman Powell was a viable player.
They hit their two picks in Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby. Like, that was a team, Pascal Siakam, everything that we just mentioned.
A lot of dudes on that team.
It was a very, very good basketball team. I know Kawhi gets a lot of that credit, but that was a really good ready-made team. Portland's not in that position. If you trade Damian Lillard, you are all in on a full rebuild. My pushback on the Dame trading stuff is you don't trade him. You wait for him to, you know, publicly ask out, because I don't trust this team to do a full-on rebuild without Damian Lillard. Now, if they're put in a position to have to, that's different. But you do not force that issue, because I don't trust this organization to make a smart move with that trade. So you do what you can to build alongside Dame, in my opinion.
Yes. And that, I think, is the most important factor, is I don't trust anybody to make the necessary move with him and then with the assets that would come with him. Because, listen, and then that's not a shot at Joe. That's more a shot at the top. I don't want franchise-altering moves. And not to say that trading C.J. McCollum isn't a franchise-altering move. It is, but it's not. Like, it's just the thing that needs to happen. Damian Lillard is on your Mount Rushmore. That's a franchise-altering move. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, Keegan. I don't want to see him in a different jersey. The only way I let Damian Lillard go is if he forcibly comes to me, if I'm Joe Cronin or I'm Jody Allen or Burt Cold, whoever it is, and he says, I want out. And then he has to go public with it.
I like that you assume he goes to Jody at all.
He has said he has had those discussions with her a couple times.
Yeah.
So
I think he'd go to Joe. I think Joe would be his guy in that situation.
I would imagine. Back in the day when he had a relationship with PA, I would imagine he would go to PA with that.
Yes.
And I think that's the Agreed. Difference. I want to divert here real quick after going to that, because this is a question I got in a lot of different forms. You saw what happened in Houston the other night, right? Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood,
and Kevin Porter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeremy Cricklow at Strife asks, with the explosion that's happening in Houston right now, what does Portland need to give to get Wood? Nothing. We are talking. Listen, I like Christian Wood. I really like him. I thought he had outgrown some of the stuff that I heard behind the scenes. Not a great sign. Now, it's very, very difficult when you're losing to get caught up in this stuff, especially on a young losing team. Kevin Porter Jr. is very much trending in the NBA path version of Antonio Brown. Very troubled, mistake prone, emotional outbursts, needs real help. I've talked to a lot of people behind the scenes, both in Cleveland and at USC. He needs help. Like, he needs to be reined in and taken care of before he's out of the NBA. That's a real thing. Christian Wood, it's more of a, it's not a great thing. These things have popped up in the past before, having issues with coaches. I say all of this to say, what is Portland's major malfunction right now? Is it attitude and chemistry and giving a damn?
Yeah, I'd like to not add volatile people to that situation.
So, yeah, as much as I like Christian Wood, after that, I was kind of like, unless the buying price is real low, in which case Portland should be willing to take risks.
What if it was Nurkic for him straight up?
Done.
Because it's an expiring for Houston, expiring, done with him.
Yeah. If that's it, done. I'm not throwing additional capital. It's not going to be more than one piece. It's not going to be a first round pick. Like, the risk value for Portland is already gone. Like, they just. So, but in general, this is where the whole culture thing that they touted for so long, which was mostly BS. It was Terry and Tame. Keeping things under wraps and under control and knowing how to handle things, which is kind of crazy. You think about it now, as bad as things are, what have we not heard a single bit of? Anything out of the locker room?
No, not like a lot of confrontation, a lot of screaming and shouting. You've seen some stuff with Larry, but you haven't heard anything behind the scenes.
Which I love, by the way. I love that from Larry. Are you willing to give anything extra for a guy who may have a little bit of issue?
I like Christian Wood. Actually, I'm really high on Christian Wood. I was really disappointed to see that report and to see that happen, that I guess Lucas called him out at halftime. And
a well-respected guy, John Lucas III.
Very well-respected. To see kind of that play out, it's really unfortunate for KPJ, because now you start to wonder where his future is going to be. And Christian Wood, I mean, that was a guy that had an opportunity to prove that he was getting past some of this stuff. You know, quickly from Detroit to Houston, making an impact statistically, but that team's been terrible.
He was playing in China 3 years ago.
I know you think you'd have that kind of perspective to rein that in and just roll with it and say, whatever, just ignore somebody if they're annoying you that way. But neither one of these dudes could do it. So no, outside of giving up a Nurkic straight across, I ain't adding anything for that.
Brian Turner at Skidplate09. What is the likelihood that the Blazers lean into the tank, Brandon?
Oh, I think we're a week away.
I think
the next Danny, picture this. They lose the next three games, which they might not. It's Cleveland.
They might get one. They might get
Miami,
one.
Miami. It's who's the third one? Is it Sacramento?
So you've got Atlanta, Cleveland.
Oh, Atlanta. Thank
Miami,
you.
And actually I think it is Sacramento after that.
Yeah, so those are your next four. You lose three or all four of those. I don't think it's out of the realm for them to finally face the music and say, okay, at that point you're 13 or 14 and 25, 26.
So
you ain't coming back from that.
What do you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They have lost 11 of their last 13. And if they lose the next three, 14 of 16?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, I think it kind of goes to more the timeline you threw out maybe just a little under a week ago of, if Dame can get past Clyde, and I you know, him putting up a lot of shots and trying to maybe
he's been putting up 30 pieces.
If he can keep doing that, he breaks it a lot sooner. That puts him in a spot where I think he finally goes, okay, I'm getting the surgery. We're not good. Let's blow this up to a certain degree and let's see what we can do this summer.
I say check back January 23rd.
Well, here's the other part, you know, to throw on. If they do decide to go that route, one, I will rejoice. I know it won't be fun for viewership. I get all that stuff. But it's the smarter move for the organization. At this point, you need to be operating that way and not how can we be a fringe playoff team. If Dame is fully committed, and I have no reason to believe he's not, but if he goes into the summer, he gets the surgery, I know it's really late, but I legitimately am hoping that he just stays patient and he works with this organization to allow them the opportunity. I know they're late to it. You should never have letting it gone that long. Mm-hmm. But I really hope that he doesn't allow watching Giannis maybe do it again or watching Harden finally win a ring or whoever, fill in the blank, win a championship to get into the back of his mind. I thought it was huge when Giannis did it of, this was hard, you know, doing this. I think that kind of reaffirmed his belief. I hope no matter how bad this gets, he goes into the offseason and he allows the organization a proper summer of let us go all in, put the chips in the middle and build this thing as best we possibly
can. Let me make all the moves we need to make. Yeah. And in coming with that, it means tanking.
Yeah.
I say January 23rd because that's when they get back from that 6-game road trip. So they have Atlanta, Miami, Cleveland, Sacramento. Reminder, Sacramento, as bad as they have beat the Blazers twice. Once in Portland, once on the road. Miami might have their guys back by then. Cleveland looks to be playing better. Atlanta, their offense is still insane. Their defense doesn't matter because Portland's offense hasn't been great either. But then Portland goes out on a 6-game road trip. 13th at Denver, 15th at Washington, 17th in Orlando, 19th at Miami, 21st at Boston, 23rd at Toronto.
Ugh.
Notice
that's not a good road team.
Did you notice what's happening there? It's a game every other day.
And it's kind of, when you think about it, it's all over the map.
Oh, yeah, no. It's down Denver, it's east, to Washington, to Orlando, to Miami, to Boston, to Toronto.
Yeah, that is, yeah, no thank you.
It sucks. They do this road trip every year. It's usually broken up into some version of this because it's usually they do the Florida, then they do Boston, Toronto.
It's usually the East Coast to Florida hub is what they usually do.
There. Yeah, but it's kind of funny because they usually skip like Charlotte and like the in-between regions or Cleveland or something like that. But they go down low, then they go back up high. I don't know. It's really weird. But
is there any talk about when they're going to try to reschedule if they're
the Nets game? I would imagine it would probably get stuffed in there.
So it could be a 7-game trip.
It's either that or they stuff it in the back end because I don't think either team is going cross coast after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I was just curious if the NBA was actually trying to be proactive on those or throw them in the back burner and say, we're probably going to cancel those games.
It's supposed to be a Portland home game, too.
It is a Portland home game.
So maybe they run them. Maybe they do run the Nets back out. Let's take a look.
We'll see.
I'm gonna open this up. This is live podcasting. That'll just fantastic, right? I remember talking to somebody who covers the Nets, and I could have swore they said that they're not coming back west again.
I think the NBA is really gonna cancel some of these games, these postponed games. You don't need it. If you had an 81 game season, whatever.
Well, it's gonna mess up with playoff seeding. That's the thing.
It will.
Not so for Portland. I don't think. Yeah. Brooklyn are good. They do come back out here at the end of January into February, but I think obviously Portland is on the road. Or actually, no, Portland is at home then.
So they might. So try maybe
they do that. Maybe they do keep them over.
That's brutal.
Because there's a 5-game road trip the Nets have January 29th to February 6th, and Portland. That's the time period where Dame would look to. Yeah, they will be there. So maybe they hold them over for a day. That'd be interesting. Okay, so, but all in all, it's all weird, man. It's all really, really, really weird. Let's take a look at a grand scheme. Brew Jones, at Brew J, what's your ideal 1 to 2 year timeline look like with Dame? Also, what's your Dame ass out timeline trade look like to get us back into championship contention as fast as possible? What is your optimal 2-year plan for Damian Lillard?
If you're trading him?
No, keeping him.
I mean, get as creative as you possibly can. Your championship window is 2 years.
Yes.
And if you told me next year was really kind of it for Dame, like, okay.
You believe it.
You got one more year and then I'm probably going to bounce. I think everybody's going to sit there and tell you, yeah, that sounds about right. I hope it's 2 years. It's really just going to depend on what you put around him this summer. And if you show on paper a good roster and then they can come out and play well, I think even if they get to just the second round again and get bumped in a year, that's going to maybe be enough to convince him to give it one more shot, especially if it's a very close second round.
Let's say it's a legitimate second round.
Yeah, it's a legitimate second round against Golden State or Phoenix or something. I think that would be enough. Mm-hmm. But if you're another first and out or you're swept in the second round, I would imagine you got about one more year.
Pack it up.
Championship window, I think we need to be optimistic, but I think we also need to be honest. I don't know what the moves entail to truly make this team a championship level team. Because if you're not going to go get Ben Simmons and you assume Philadelphia says, we don't want to do this Seth CJ thing, wouldn't blame them. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be able to get Jaylen Brown, I don't know what pieces are truly out there to bring in and say, you playing alongside Dame is going to elevate. You really are talking about swinging for the moon here. Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Karl Anthony Towns finally has had enough of playing with Anthony Edwards and not being a good team. You need stuff like that to break your way, because non-all-star piece moves are not going to be the thing that saves this team. It'll get them back to playoff respectability, but it won't make them a true contender. And at this point, Dame deserves to play with a legitimate all-star option.
I'll tell you my one multiverse that I allow CJ McCollum to be on this team after the trade deadline. It is that they are turning into the skid full bore, and they are tanking, and they are fully 100% committed to trading him in the offseason, and they are hoping that Philly has their bluff called on Ben Simmons. And they let's say the 76ers get to the trade deadline and Morey's still stuck there holding the bag. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons has already taken $10 million in fines. He does not care at this point. At least that has been what we've seen be pushed forward by him in clutch at this point, right?
Right.
Let's say Boston completely implodes. Here's what I think. I think there's some weird way where you can end up either with Simmons or Brown and keep that draft pick.
Ooh, paint the Boston picture for me. How you get Brown without giving up that asset?
Everything else. Everything
okay,
else.
Okay, so if you're Boston, you don't want probably Nas.
Maybe you want Ant.
Maybe you want Ant, but if you're taking CJ with Ant, it's kind of a double. Mm-hmm. I could see them not doing that. So if it's not, that's the thing. I'm trying to paint pictures in my head of these teams and who they would realistically take. Philly, I don't think Philly's going to do this CJ thing. I really don't.
I don't either. But again, if somebody's asked me to paint like the ideal timeline, that's the ideal timeline. It's one of these big wings.
Yeah.
Let's say Pascal shakes free in Toronto.
Yeah, that's an underrated one.
One of these big wings shakes free. And you have to give up CJ, one of the young guys, and a pick down the road. Whether that means removing the protections on next year's Chicago pick, not this year, the next year, because mm-hmm. the Blazers would have tanked and gotten a top three pick. And so now you've got Dame plus one of these big wings, whether it's Pascal, whether it's Ben, whether it's Jaylen, and you've got one of Ben Caro, Holmgren, or Jabari Smith. Now you're cooking with gas.
See, here's the thing. This is going to be you might not like this based on what I've heard you talk about. If you're in a position to get one of those players, I think you need to trade it. Now, there's two things to this.
If you're moving a top three pick with
if
CJ,
you're moving that, yeah,
it can't moving, be Ben.
If you're moving, no, it has to be better. But if you're moving a Jabari Smith, that you're going to feel a certain way. You could be for that and still be like, damn.
It needs to be a 24 and under star.
Well, and you also, I'm wondering if you're doing that, you have to know that Dame is staying committed to this. Are you having to give that extension?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So, and that's why I would say I would aim for the lower, hope for the higher. Again,
yeah.
We're talking ideal. I don't think this is happening. Not in any way, shape, matter, form.
Wait, what part?
Any of this. The tanking part, I do, I think, is a real thing. But
I think they're going to have a legit shot at being a good percentage shot of getting a top three pick.
I do too.
They're bad.
They're a very bad team, and I think I think we may reach the point. Like I said, check back January 23rd. If over the next 10 games they are just awful, let's say they go 2-8, it's shutdown time.
My biggest problem, Danny, just continues to be I cannot and I have not gotten that low Pelton podcast out of my brain. They ran through everybody and was just like, why would this team want CJ? Why would this team do that? Why would they? And I just like, fuck, stop making good points on every player I like.
Yeah. And then this is, again, not to pop the old horn, but this is why trading CJ McCollum 5 years ago needed to happen. But it is what it is. All right. We've talked a little bit about drafts. Let's get into some of the draft stuff. This is from Rusty Shackelford at Rusty SH, a whole lot of numbers. Say we do get a top five draft pick. Is there even anybody in the draft worth a damn that could actually help the team next year? What is this all for? Blow it up. Is there people in the draft that can help this team next year? Yes. Yes. Will they be the best player on the team? No. Could they be the second best? Maybe. Would they be a third best? Probably. I'm pretty confident in that both Ben Carroll and Smith would be viable, no BS, rookie of the year candidates who put up tremendous production.
So if you got to that point, I agree with you on Smith and Ben Carroll, but if you get to that point, I think that's another look in the mirror moment for Dame, right? Is Dame going to be willing to say, the odds in the history of this league suggest rookie year dudes as good as LeBron on down, you're going to hit a wall. And
that's why that guy's got to be that third best. He can't be the second.
Right. But even then, relying on him to, I think, the whole season in the playoffs, I think you have to tell yourself you're 2 and 3 that you're more aiming towards. Are you able to do that if you're Dame? Are you willing to get to 34, 33, 34, 35 and say, at that age, I'll be older. I won't quite be that dude. But I'll still be so good from the perimeter that if this kid can really come into his own,
take a little bit of that burden.
You get to play a little Chris Paul to a Devin Booker in terms of the age gap. You know what I mean? That's kind of what you would be looking at right there.
And so I think that's kind of a way that you do it. But yes, are there guys that are there? It is what it is. And Joel, at Mr. Joel, I say, what would you expect from a draft pick in the event we don't get any better? Offensive firepower between those two guys, Smith and Manjaro. Yep. There's no doubt about it.
Wings who can get shots.
I mean, they're both 6'10". Ben Carroll's better at putting the ball down on the floor. Jabari is a better shooter. They're both tremendous shooters. Chet has unicorn potential, major defensive impact. Offensively, I'm not quite sure of how good he can or can't be yet. I don't have a feel for him. Defensively, I think he's leading the nation in blocks. He's a massive, massive, massive rim protector. He moves fluidly enough to where he's not, and this isn't to be a knock, he's not Gobert in the sense of like where he wants to be at the rim all of the time. He can move out a little bit more. But it's also a matter of how good, you know, rim protection is when your perimeter defenders aren't great to begin with. How viable is that? So as we've kind of seen with Yusuf Nurkic, who has had mixed reviews as far as a rim protector. But
I'm not as sold on Chet as I am the other guys.
The defensive potential is there. Like, he's no doubt. I just don't know how high the ceiling is on his offensive potential.
That's important.
Which, it matters. Sean Walsh at Sean P. Walsh 77. Let's say the Dame trade happens. Is there any possibility of getting a young, high-potential player? And he lists guys like Ball, Edwards, Cunningham, etc. Or are we looking more at a bolus of picks and expiring contracts? Listen, if that worst-case scenario happens and Dame forces his way out, I want at least one blue-chip player. One blue-chip player.
The history's not on our side for this stuff, by the way.
No, it's not.
The draft, you in these trades, you always end up losing them because you're talking about a proven commodity. A guy that would probably go and make a team even better. And then the other team just is willing to take on a lot of hope, basically.
Yeah. And this is where I want the Paul George deal and not the James Harden deal. I want Shea and a pile of picks.
Mm.
That's what I want. Shea's a stud.
So you get a third team involved to get Dame to a contender. You jump in and you get the benefits of Oklahoma City, basically.
I'm just saying that just to say, like, I'm just using him as an example.
Oh, like, okay. Oklahoma City.
I want their deal that they got for Paul George versus what Houston got for Harden.
Who's the young? Do you have an idea of the young stud given the teams involved?
I don't know. That's the thing, is like, I look at it and the names that are out there obviously are Jaylen Brown and Brandon Ingram. You know, Tyrese Maxey doesn't do enough for me. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah,
you're not that guy, pal. But I just look at that and I go, that's what I want. I don't know if that's a reality. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is a real possibility with the way the league is currently set up and who's available and who's not and who has the right assets to make that work. You would have to get very, very creative in my mind to make that dream a reality.
Yeah. So.
Another one from Joel, just Joel, Mr. Joel, is how do you rate Chauncey? It's hard as players, fitness front office, and height has been an issue, but thoughts and prospects. I'll let you go on this one, Brandon. Through what, 35 games now? How has Chauncey Billups looked? How has he stood up? How is he rate for you?
He's going on, what, his third or fourth missed game now here with COVID stuff.
Yeah, he'll be back now.
Has he cleared?
Yeah, he cleared earlier today.
Okay. I saw Scott had gotten it. I'm not that impressed. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and blame the whole season on him. That was pretty evident to see this roster not really change a whole lot, to come to it and think it was going to be better or different with Chauncey, who had never coached, versus a guy who did. Didn't really understand that thinking. But from what I've seen, he's brought zero impact defensively for them. And he's made them worse offensively because of his reluctancy to just run what Dame is great in. So, you know, there's a learning curve to this stuff. It's not to say that he can't get better whatsoever, but if I was to be honestly grading him or just give thoughts, I'm not that impressed. I would have rather had Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, I think I always landed on not necessarily anti-Chauncey, but more of like, why are you going with a first-year coach? That was always my pushback. And for all the people like, oh, no, you don't need to see any retreads. It's like, okay, well then fill out the assistants with guys who have a ton of experience, you know, like the best teams in the league have, whether it be the Nets.
To call Mike a retread is pretty disrespectful to how good Mike D'Antoni's been.
Yeah, he's coached multiple, you know, Hall of Famers. Not only multiple Hall of Famers, multiple MVP winners.
Two bad runs with two organizations that honestly have been a shit show outside of LeBron agreeing to join one. Mm-hmm. But the New York Knicks and the Lakers have been awful. Not well run.
Yeah, poorly run franchises. So. Yeah. And actually, he did well with the Suns franchise that's poorly run.
Did very well in that situation. Yeah,
so
gave us Steve Nash.
And did the same thing, honestly, in Houston when Fertitta came in. So
yes, he did.
You know, he's actually done well.
He's helped the Nets.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at the best teams in the NBA, not only their head coaches, it's their assistants. The Blazers' assistants. And I don't mean to like make this sound bad to these guys. I'm glad they're getting opportunities. I'm glad they're getting shots. But that Scott Brooks was their lead assistant was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Legitimately. And then you look at, you know, everybody they brought in was basically a first year or only a couple years. And this isn't to take shots at those guys. It's just go look at the Blazers coaching staff and then compare it against the Warriors, then compare it against the Bucks, and compare it against the Nets, compare it against the Suns. The Suns are, you know, assistant coaches are getting poached to become head coaches in Willie Green. Like, there's a reason why these teams that are very successful have these very good staffs. Portland just hasn't done that. They haven't been willing to spend the money. And that's, you want to talk about an organization being cheap, that's one that Portland has consistently been cheap on.
Is that one area, or is it just personnel decisions by Chauncey deciding to bring, so like Roy Rogers he worked with in LA?
I think it was a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Because, I mean, if Mike D'Antoni ended up becoming a consultant anyways, after not getting the head coaching job, you're telling me you couldn't get him, here. And it's that for me, I rate Chauncey as an incomplete just because I thought this roster didn't make any damn sense and didn't matter what coach you threw in there. And lo and behold, guess what? It didn't matter. Shocking, I know, for some people out there. That's
I just give him a little. I hear you, and I think I'm largely agreeing with you. I just. I'm kind of forcing myself to give an honest kind of yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
And while, again, a lot of this is out of his control, I haven't always been the most encouraged watching him coach.
I'm not discouraged, but I'm not encouraged either. I think that's a bigger indictment. If I'm more ambivalent.
You want to feel like you got the right, like Boston right now was wondering, did we get the right guy?
Yeah. Like I don't know if Chauncey's the right or the wrong guy, but I haven't seen anything that shows me he's the right guy.
No.
So, yeah, I go back and forth on it, but I'm cheating and giving you an incomplete. But right now, like if the semester ended, and I forced it, he'd have to take the class again.
That's usually a bad thing. That's right. Usually not like it's okay.
Yeah,
that's not a good thing.
Like you just haven't seen enough work, and I think this is a part that kind of plays into it. Connor Strong at Con Strong 14. Does this team at full strike honestly win any of the games they've been losing? I don't think so. Maybe one or two. Yeah.
Oh, I think there's a few games and then they probably end up. I mean, they ended up winning the Memphis game somehow. I still can't wrap NBA. My brain around that.
You can win on any given night. It's the league is dumb.
I don't believe Ja was back at that point either. Yeah. But you know, that was a nice little win. There's probably a couple games. Are they 13-22? No, at full strength, but they're probably like 15-.
They've been
15-20. Yeah,
they may pick up two. I think that's kind of where I've kind of ended up on this.
We watched them play like absolute dog shit before CJ unfortunately got the lung thing and Nurkic was out with COVID. Like we had watched this team piss us off too many times going into that.
Yeah, it wasn't like the COVID thing. I was like, oh no, it just interrupted such a swell run of play.
Right.
That wasn't the case. Like they were playing like
trash. They were under 500 when they were there.
Yeah. So, and with that, Mike Dennis at Banker Mike 747. The question that really needs to be asked: do they give a damn? I was having this discussion with a friend of mine yesterday, and I was like, I think I hate this team more than I hate the Trailblazers, in the sense of like actual basketball, because even though they were a bunch of knuckleheads and they said a bunch of stupid stuff, they put on an entertaining brand of basketball, even though they sucked, and they cared. Even when they said they didn't, even when Bonzi said, I don't care about you, they still cared on the floor. They still performed. They weren't good, but I thought they cared more. I look at this team and talking to a few people around the league, one the thing that has been most prevalent is that they aren't even mad at each other. Like Boston, you've got guys like fighting in the locker room and stuff like that. Like there's fight. There's no fight in this team. Like, not even internally, and I think that kind of bothers me.
Well, I mean, we've already, 35 games into the season, Danny, we've seen Boston have team meetings. We've seen Sacramento have team meetings. Like, you've had...
Their head coach said, if you need me, I'll be home drinking in a post-game press conference.
Yeah, I mean, but these teams, you know, one of those I don't expect to ever be taken seriously in Sacramento. Like, for those teams to just publicly say, we're having a team players-only meeting, like... And Portland's just sitting here going, give a shit. That's the part of that that does bother me.
The writing is on the wall, and guys are just waiting to be traded.
But see, I mean, what bothers me about that, though, is just being okay with this, though. Mm-hmm. Like how you don't say, well, until that happens, because you don't, it could happen in the next week, it could happen in the next month and a half. Like there's still a lot of time until
it might not happen.
It might not happen either, which I think would piss a lot of people off, but it also wouldn't be the most.
Also might piss some guys in that locker room off because there are guys that want to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, Larry Nance, we talked about him preseason. He went from Cleveland to come to Portland and play for a playoff team. And now he's not going to get that.
Yeah.
He went to a worse situation. Cleveland is better now.
And Cleveland's home for him.
Like that's a dude. Honestly, I think there's a lot of players that if I'm any one of those guys, I'm trying to get the hell out of here. If I'm Larry, I'm telling my agent, get me out of here, please. If I'm Norm, I'm saying, dude, thanks for the contract. Get me out of here, please.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that could be a good thing for Portland because it basically boils down to Damian Lillard and some parts. You have all these other assets that you could use in potential moves and swings and, you know, relieving yourself of some of the cap, like all of these pieces. You have to trade Nurk and Covington because they're both expiring. Got to use those assets.
Got to get something out of it.
CJ, whether it's before the deadline or they just say, let us have one more year. We know this season sucks. And then in the summertime, allow yourself to get ready to be moved. He's got to be moved. These are all things that if I was on that team, I wouldn't want to be a part of this. You don't even care enough to talk about this. I want out.
Yeah. I think that there's a real version of that that's happening right now. Keith Howe, at J. Keith Howe, I've gotten some version of this question. I think this is kind of it's a good question to understand trade value. In that, how have the Blazers not made a single trade? That isn't the question that is, I think, really important here. The second part of this, doesn't their player value go down every day they don't make a trade? No. I think because of fantasy sports and fantasy basketball and NBA 2K, we get caught up in trade machines in like the volatility of the trade market. A guy having a bad week or a bad month after having 8 years of performance does not alter his trade demand or his trade value. Now, a devastating injury, that alters your trade value.
Mm-hmm.
An entire year where you can't hit anything alters your trade value. A week, a day, a month, hell, 2-3 months doesn't alter your trade value. It doesn't. Now, your coach, your other star player and MVP candidate throwing you under the bus in the press conferences following your unceremonious exit out of the playoffs, that'll lower your trade value. But the idea of like each day, each passing week lowering your trade value, no.
No, because most scouts, yeah, most of these organizations, they know what you are.
Yes. So now, if you're talking about a 30-plus-year-old player like CJ McCollum, every year you go, the value goes down.
So I can look this up, but I didn't know if you, top of your head, do you know how many years left he'll have after this season?
3.
See, now, His numbers
his
not
new
great.
Deal kicks his new deal kicks in. It's a 3-year deal. It's a 3-year basically average value $33 million.
His number's not great. I mean, it's going to get into the high 30s there, but
yes,
I think just the longer it goes on, the closer to the end of that deal, the easier it is for a team to swallow that contract and say, okay, you're going to be done here in 2 years, so we can deal with it. 3 is a bit much, but still.
Actually, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. It is this year that the new contract was taking hold. I had it in my head because it's a big kicker. His salary this year is 31. Yeah. It's 33 next year, and then it's 36 the year after that, and it's year 32 right. Season. So I always get his and Dame's mixed up because Dame's kicks in next year.
He's an interesting just discussion, I think, in general of how he's going to age in this league because we know he can shoot the mid-range, but he's so reliant on his dribble. He's going to have to play almost Andre Miller-esque. Like, he's just going to have to be crafty, I think.
Well, he's been a below-the-rim finisher for his whole career, too, which I think, excuse me, benefits him a fair amount. I think his game's actually going to age okay because he didn't really play defense to begin with. And while he uses athleticism, he's not like Russell Westbrook in the sense of, like, when that first step burst completely goes, which we're starting to see signs of, Russ's ability to be effective is severely inhibited. Like, mm-hmm. Derrick Rose completely evolved his game. Like, he turned into a good shooter. He went from a non-shooter to not just like a passable shooter, but a damn good shooter. I think that's the kind of thing where, like, CJ's a damn good shooter. He's one of the best mid-range shooters of the entire generation. I think his ability to be able to get to that spot, he's always going to have, like, Jamal Crawford always had wiggle. Like, CJ's always going to have wiggle, and I think that's going to be enough for him to be successful even as he ages and probably turns more into a sixth man.
Yeah.
Like if you're asking me what I see CJ McCollum in year 33, year 34, year 35, it's definitely sixth man.
Yeah.
Like, come off the bench and like, he'll win you some games in the regular season. There's no doubt about it. Hell, if he's coming off your bench deep in the playoffs, like he's your seventh, eighth man or something like that, you know that he can take over a game. Like, I think that's
right.
Those are the kind of things you're like, ew, that's kind of terrifying. There was a random question here from Nibble that I thought was kind of funny. Nibble at Nibble _2x2. What would a good Trailblazers mascot look like? Our current one is microwave garbage. And since we needed an organizational overhaul, we might as well start where it counts. What do you have against Blaze the Trail Cat?
Oh, I think it's awful. I think it's one of the worst mascots in pro sports.
Definitely reeks of mid-90s.
Are they still trotting that thing out?
Oh, yeah. No, he's still
out. Oh, that's too bad. It's too bad. Best mascot, like, without... I would say 35 years ago, it'd be, like, a really offensive mascot. I say nowadays, just to ignore all that stuff, just put a guy... Go old Golden State Warrior. Get a guy in a one red piece suit and have him just have, like, the, you know, the pinwheel somewhere all over, just and have him be a high fly dunker guy.
Yeah, because they had, what was that guy? What was that, the Warriors mascot's name?
I forget the name of it, but I remember seeing it years and years ago, and I'm like, you know what? At least that's just dope.
I'll tell you what, the Pacers, they have one of those guys. And he's the most explosive athlete I've ever seen in one of those mascot costumes. It's terrifying.
he's probably an ex-pro athlete.
Yeah, no, I was watching a Pacers game. This was last year, League Pass. And the halftime show came on. He came out there, and I was like, holy crap. That guy's
probably like an old Colt.
Yeah, no, like legitimately, he's like 5'11". Like, it's like putting Tyreek Hill in one of those mascot costumes. Like, you just put this wildly explosive human being in, you know, tights and said, go. Well, what would you think of,
you know, man, maybe you go away from the mascot in general.
Do you go like Oregon Trail?
Well, no, I was thinking my favorite baseball team has, I think, one of the cooler ideas. So the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Portland Pickles.
No, but shout out to Pickles. We're big Pickles fans out here. The Atlanta Braves have a thing called the Freeze. Mm-hmm. And so every game, they pick a rando out of the crowd, and you start on the third base foul line in the outfield. You start at that line, and you get like a 20-second head start, and the Freeze is in a blue onesie skin tight piece. You don't know who he is, but he's a fast-ass dude. So what they do
is actually Kenny Lofton Jr.
And it's basically, yeah, it's a track star. And some guys get, like, if you look this, you'll find people that are way ahead, and they think they've won, so they slow down, they look behind them, they see them, and then they'll trip them, they'll plan into the ground.
They get Usain Bolted.
Yeah, just I would maybe lean into that. Like, go find a great athlete, dress them up, and do, like, competitions where you give them some kind of a head start.
Have you seen Darnell Valentine lately?
No.
Former Trailblazers are great. We had him on Outsiders. Number one, the nicest human being on the face of the planet. My God. You would not think he's a real person because of how kind he is.
Yeah.
But I think he's probably in his late 40s, early 50s, and his quads have quads. we found somebody in the studio had a card like from back in the day, from like 84, 85.
Yeah.
And short shorts. And like, he looks like a track star. And he's still, to this day, he's super jacked. But he's like, yeah, that was been my prime. Those are my legs looked good. I'm like, you look good now, man. It's just pure insanity. It would be funny if they were just like found like old Trailblazers and had them, you know.
Just come out in their old uniforms too. You know what I mean? Like your mascot. There. Like your, I don't know if you call him a mascot, but like your blade of the night. It's like Terry Porter walks out with his 1992 jersey on.
You know what would be great is have Terry Stotts come out with a beer. That'd be the fun one. I had
think we try two mascots.
Yeah, I think you either get it right or you don't.
Like Phoenix went with a gorilla. What the hell does that have to do with the Suns? I don't know.
There's a story about that. I can't remember how it goes, but I think it was like a random thing, and it was successful when they first did it. And they're like, screw it, we'll run with it. Like, you've got Gritty in Philadelphia, and you've got the Philly Fanatic. Like Philly has mascots down. Like they've got that figured out. They don't have anything else in their lives figured out, but they've got mascots figured out. Portland.
Just have the dancing lady be the mascot. I mean, she's all anybody looks forward to.
Portland, yes.
Yeah.
But I had to work something in here. It was a little bit of fun. Andy Quatch at NBA Quatch underscore, excuse me, at NBA underscore Quatch Boy. This one got me thinking, Brandon, and this is like a perfect kind of hell. So I appreciate Andy for this. If the Blazers
is
accidentally.
It Quatch or is it Quack?
Quatch. I've answered one of his questions before. He said, shout out for getting my name right. So.
Okay, because I have my wife's cousin's, her last name, Her and all her brothers are all Kwok, and it's spelled the exact same
okay.
way.
Okay. Well, then, Andy, if you're listening again, let me know if it was just my nasaliness or if I got it right. So if the Blazers accidentally tank and wind up with the sixth pick, shoot me now. Who would you all take given Jabari Smith, Bankero, Holmgren, Hardy, and Ivy all go in the top five? So, Brandon, that basically means you're not getting one of the unicorns, and you have the more traditional center in Jalen Duren. You have Kendall Brown, who took Oregon, balled him up, and stuffed him in the rim at the PK tournament. Patrick Baldwin Jr., who is one of the 6'10 kids, who has looked very good at Milwaukee, but also playing in a smaller smaller level. And then A.J. Griffin at Duke. I think it's pretty much the group you're dealing with. All guys that you're like, sure, but why?
I don't know enough about any of those players.
But why?
That's with you.
Okay. That's fair.
I think if you're getting outside of the unicorn level, get the hell out of there.
Then you package up CJ with the pick and you're not, we'll revisit this in 3 years and go, yeah, no, we should have known it was Patrick Baldwin Jr., you know, something stupid like that.
I mean, there's always going to be a player that you look back and say, did you not just wait and take him? But I don't know if there's one the way that there was in the 17 draft with how deep and, you know, varying his skill set there was in that draft. I don't know if you're dealing with that same situation.
No, but I also think at the top end of this draft is loaded. Absolutely loaded.
Yes.
So in that world, Andy, thank you for trying to ruin me, but Brandon's skipping out, and I'm gonna go with Baldwin Jr. That's my final answer for right now. I'll know more as we get closer to the end of the college season. Host Rada, we'll end on this, an uplifting note at Host Rada. If Vulcan wants to sell a team, is that actually a good thing? I personally feel like it'd go either way, but I've been kind of seeing a lot of calls to have them sell off the Blazers. Brandon?
Yes. I think you absolutely roll the dice, get a new billionaire in here who like genuinely cares and loves sports and says, I want to be part of this exclusive club of ownership, and get the hell out of here. Vulcans can have a good time. Good luck to you in future endeavors.
Yeah. I want somebody who wants to own the team long term and has a long-term plan. I don't want a five-year investment plan. I want a five-year, how do I build this team plan?
Yes.
I don't care about your pocketbooks.
Nope.
I don't. I want somebody who's like, this is their plaything. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want them to throw all kinds of money at it. I want there to be a no expenses. And you hear about owners like, oh, the luxury tax did it. It's like, I don't feel bad for you. I don't. I'm not going to, so stop asking me to. What I'm asking you to do is give a shit about the civic duty that comes with owning a franchise, which is putting a product on the floor that makes sense. I heard Kevin O'Connor talk about this on his podcast the other day. I think it was on The Void. And him and I see very much eye to eye in this vein of, if you own a sports franchise, it is your duty to be able to compete for a title. And by that doesn't mean that you're going to win one. It is that you are doing everything in your financial duties to create a world where it is possible that if you do X, Y, and Z, you can compete.
Yeah.
And if you're not building towards that, you're tearing down from it so that you can build towards it again. And the fact that Portland got stuck on a cycle of not doing either was what has pissed me off for the last 7 years. And I don't know if Jody Allen is committed to getting off that ledge. Because makes money.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it's all about the money situation. More so than it is, how good is this team? Is this team viable for being a contender? She has shown zero evidence that that's the case.
So, not to make it a downer, but yeah, I definitely want the team to be sold, but I just don't think it's gonna be sold for a couple of years. From all of the things that I have heard from people who are much better connected than I am on the business side of the NBA, nobody expects it to happen for a while. So it'll be.
I mean, we get expansion this coming year randomly out of left field, then great.
Listen, if the expansion came sooner, which I don't think it is because I don't think the facilities would be ready in time, but if they did, listen, all for it. 100%.
Well, they went to, if they went to Vegas and Seattle, they have facilities ready.
Yeah, but those won't be their home homes.
What do you mean?
I don't think that, like, I think in Vegas, I think they'd want to not use the NHL arena because it's a little small. I think they'd want to either.
Well, what about the T-Mobile arena?
The what?
The T-Mobile arena.
That's the.
Where the Aces play.
That's the same one as the NHL.
Is arena. The hockey team yeah. use that too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a really nice arena, but I think it's only like 15,000.
I don't know if that's a problem.
Maybe not. I could be wrong.
Makes it a good ticket.
It does. It does make it a want to have, need to have kind of situation. So
I think arenas and stadiums are suffering from way too big-itis, and I think they if True. They trim these down, like in baseball, like people talk about Portland. If Portland had a 25,
oh okay,
you're, I would no. See, I'll go sub 30. Yeah, oh, wow. make it
appointment
a
viewing.
Great environment, man. Yeah. Like make it a party. Make it something that people really want to get into, and it's tough to get into. Because you want a home field advantage. And too many teams are like, let's make it an 85,000 seat stadium. It's like, are you going to get 85,000 people ever? Or is that too corporate?
But Portland, no. No, never. But yeah, I do want them to sell. I've made no qualms about that. I'm probably not making any friends at One Center Court with those statements, but I do want them to sell.
Well, I don't know if those people over there, if that bothers them that you say that. If it does, then, I mean, I think the objectivity there is a little, there's a little line going on. I think they understand what the situation is, that they're waiting on certain things to fall before yeah.
and I don't,
they make that next
thing,
move.
And I don't begrudge them for that. If I was in Jody Allen's position and I just didn't want to really do this and I was looking to maximize revenue because that's what you do in business, I would do the same thing. Say what you want about how that you would view that, but I think that's kind of how things go, is that you look to maximize those opportunities when they come across in life. So we'll get out of here on that. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Help us grow the show. We'll be back on Monday, pre and post, with the Atlanta Hawks. The Blazers have a little homestand before they go out on a 6-game road trip. By God, I hope they win a game.
I don't.
It's so, like, my mind is like, just lose everything. Lose everything for the next 40 games. Get it done. Get it over with. But my heart is like, I can't take this losing with, like, I think I can take the losing more so if they make trades. Like, lose sure. with a different team. But I can't take the losing with this team anymore in the way that they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's sapping a little bit of what little soul I have. I'm going to start sending out more Happy New Year's tweets. God. But like, rate, review, subscribe. Help us grow the show. If you're watching here on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Share us with your friends. Share us with your family. Help us grow. We've got some cool stuff coming up that I'm really excited to share. We will have the watch parties for at least the next 5 games. So we'll catch you guys there. Until then, find us on social media at Jack Ramsey's, at Danny Marink, at Brandon Sprague. For Brandon, I am Danny. We will catch you guys on Monday. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.